One, for unfortunate reasons, Rabbi Gordon had to be out of the country, he's coming back tonight, and so therefore I'm taking over. Number two, the shiur that I'm going to say this morning is will certainly be the Shabbos Shuvah to Russia that I'm going to give in Har Nof. And since I see nobody from Har Nof here today, I feel very, very good about that. Number three, some of you who may have been at the shiur 2 or 3 weeks ago will at the beginning of the shiur hear things that sound familiar. Don't let that concern you, because the fact is that in the shiur that I said here 2 or 3 weeks ago, I began to become inspired during the shiur, and that developed. That developed since then into the Shabbos Shuvah Russia. So don't think not that I'm using you as the guinea pigs for the Shabbos Shuvah Russia, because don't think that, but it happens to be true. But don't worry about that. So I'm going to try it out on you. Please don't tell me at the end of the show whether you like it or not, because I'm stuck between now and between now and Shabbos. I'm not going to come up with anything else. I always consider myself in a different class. Most probably every American rabbi already had his Shabbos Shuvah Drasha on July 15th, and his Kol Nidre Drasha by August 1st. I don't have anything for Kol Nidre yet, so I'm getting a little nervous. But all right, that's all right. I mean, the important thing is you inspired me 2 weeks ago, and since then I've done a great deal of work. And we're going to go a giant step further. There has been a great disagreement on how to understand the Rambam. The Rambam with regard to the laws of Tshuva. On the second side of this sheet, you have a sheet running to the second side. Here I have the significant quotations from the Rambam. And we'll read half of Halacha Aleph. There it is on the right-hand side of the page. That's right, Rhoda. Right up here. Okay. We're going to read the first half. Of course, we're going to read it in Hebrew, and we're going to translate it into English, every word. And then we're going to analyze what the Rambam has to say. And from there, we'll begin our discussion. Kol ha-mitzvot shebat Torah, all of the commandments in Torah, bein asei, bein lo taseh, regardless of whether it's a positive commandment or a lo taseh, a negative commandment. In ovar odom al hachab enen, if a person transgressed any one of them, he did something he shouldn't have done, or he didn't do something that he should have done, bein b'zadon, bein b'shkara, regardless of whether he did it intentionally or unintentionally. Now listen carefully to the words of the Rambam. Kishaya'aseh tshuva, when he does tshuva, when he repents, v'yoshuv michet peto, and he turns back from doing the sin, then he has an obligation and a responsibility. Chayav lehitvadot lifnei hakel baruch hu. He is obligated to confess before God, blessed is he. Confessing meaning that he is going to express his decision in words. He's going to give verbal expression to what he decided in his heart. He has to confess, and before God, blessed is he. Shenema, as it says in Torah, Isha, Isha, Ki Yasu, Yikol, Chatota, Adam, men and women who are going to do any of the sins of men, V'Yidvadu, Et Chatotam, Asher, Asu, they should confess the sin that they did. That pasuk that Rambam says, Zeh Vidui Dvorim, that is the confession in words, verbal. Vidui Zeh, Mitzvah Asei. This vidui is a positive commandment. Right, so let me ask you. We're going to stop just for a moment over here. If I would ask you, according to the Rambam, is doing tshuva a mitzvah? Or is he doing the mitzvah? What's the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah to do tshuva, or is the mitzvah to, if you have done tshuva, then chayiv lehizvados, you should confess. It seems quite clear from the words of the Rambam that the mitzvah is vidui. Vidui zeh. This vidui is mitzvah aseh. I have some lozenges in my briefcase. Javi, this is one of the things you have to do. That's my daughter. She's taken over from my wife, you understand? On a temporary basis. I think the weather is changing. If you didn't know that the weather is changing otherwise, just listen to me and you will know that the weather is changing. Oh. Alright? You know what? If there's one. Help is on the way. Tommy?
I may have put it in my jacket. Oh, this is perfect. Okay. Javi, we're okay with it.
Now, this issue is one that has been discussed by many of the Achronim the last 100, 200 years, maybe even more. According to the Rambam, is there a mitzvah to do tshuva, or is the mitzvah that if you did tshuva, then you have a responsibility to confess? The terminology of the Rambam here, vidui zeh mitzvah aseh, this vidui is a positive commandment. Ketzad mitvader, how does a person confess? He's supposed to say, sometimes I don't like the word, the term confess, but we don't have a better word in English. I mean, it's really a declaration of one's intentions and one's feeling. A person is expressing verbally what he has decided. Oh, Hashem, I please God, Chatasi, I've sinned, Avisi, I've erred, Peshati, I rebelled against you. Lefanecha, before you, Wasito, Kach, Vekach, I did such and such. Vahadei Nichanti, I regret, Vavoshti, the Maasai, and I'm embarrassed of what I did. Ula Olam, Eini, Chose, Ledov, Azeh, and I'm never going to return and do it again. Which means the essential elements of tshuva are regretting the past, making a resolution for the future, and accepting upon oneself, not going to do it again. That's tshuva. Here the Rambam has summed it up in one sentence. V'zeh ikaro shel vidui, this is the essential nature of vidui, of confession, the chol ma'amar b'lehizvados, umar b'lehizvados, v'zeh ha'vezeh v'shuva, and whoever says the vidui often, that is praiseworthy. Okay, that's it. That's what we have to know. From this Rambam, this is all we have to know. Rav Soloveitchik, in one of his great shurim, they're all great shurim. In one of his shurim, he brings the opinion and that according to the Rambam, there is no mitzvah of tshuva, there's a mitzvah of vidui, and the Achronim, those who believe that that's what the Rambam holds, it begins with the Minchas Chinuch. It may a simcha in the Meshech Chochmah says so. The Rav brings from an uncle of his in a sefer called Avodat HaMelech that says, according to the Rambam, all you have to do is just read the Rambam and you see that the Rambam doesn't seem to hold that tshuva is a mitzvah. But if you do tshuva, then the Torah tells you you should say vidui. The Rav is not ready to accept that. The Rav is not ready. It cannot be that tshuva is not a mitzvah. Now what developed during the course, the thoughts that started rushing toward the end of this year a few weeks ago, was a wait a minute. And I say in advance that with great fear and trepidation, I'm going to say that I want to disagree with the Rav. I've never done that before, honey, like that. This is traumatic for me. But knowing the Rav's search for truth, he most probably is thinking to himself, not bad. Let's hear what you have to say. He always, truth was by, he could come in after a student had asked him a question at the end of the year, he could come in the next day and say, everything I said yesterday was wrong. we're going over it all again. I'm not going to say that the club is wrong, but I'm saying that maybe the Minchas Chinuch and that Meir Simcha and the Rav's uncle may have had a point. Now, how does the Rav know if the... we read this. It said when a person does tshuva, he has to say confession. It seems pretty clear that the mitzvah is the bidut. What proof does the Rav have for his position? The Rav gives three or four proofs. We'll deal with three of them. Number one, the Rav says you always have to be careful to read the Rambam in his headline, the Kotet, at the beginning. You see that small line up there? The Rambam, at the opening of every section in his magnum opus, the Yad HaChazaka, says what he's going to discuss here. And he says, Mitzvah Asei Achad, one positive command for who? Sheyoshuv HaChote Meicheto Lifnei Hashem V'Yitvada. This sounds a little bit different. Listen carefully. What is this Mitzvah Asei? That the sinner should do tshuva from his sin before God, v'yitvada, and confess. Doesn't it seem we're talking about two parts to the mitzvah? He should do tshuva, v'yitvada, and he should confess. So the Rav says, here it sounds a little bit different. The Rambam over here seems to be telling us that the mitzvah is a two-part mitzvah. There has to be tshuva and vidu. Number two, this is a Rambam in the second chapter of Hilchot Tshuva, where the Rambam asks, Umahi HaTshuva? What's the definition of Tshuva? Who? Sheyazo HaChote Cheto, that the sinner should leave his sin, V'yasiro Imachshavto, and remove it from his thoughts, V'yigmar Belibo, and decide in his heart, Shelo Yasehu O, that he's not going to do it anymore. Now, this sounds like the whole process of tshuva. And the Rambam in the Halacha, he's telling us what tshuva is. This sounds very much like there is a mitzvah to do tshuva. To leave the sin, be finished with it, remove it from his mind, decide in his heart that he's not going to do it anymore. Shenema, I'm going to read the rest of this Rambam, because I'm going to get back to it. It's going to be very important for me. Shenema, a pasuk in Yeshayahu, Ya'azov Rosho Tarko V'ish Oven Machshavotah, let the sinner leave, let him forsake, leave behind him his evil ways. V'chein Yitnachem Al She'avar, he should also regret the past. Shenema, as it says, a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Ki Acharei Shuvi, after I did Shuva, Nichamti, I regret it. That's a pretty interesting pasuk, by the way. We normally assume that regret precedes tshuva, and here Yirmiyahu is saying, after I did tshuva, I regretted what I had done in the past. And obviously what Yirmiyahu means is that of course one feels bad and therefore he does tshuva, but after he does tshuva, he regrets even more. I could have had this relationship with God all along, and I had to go mess it up. Why did I have to do that? You regret it even more. Third, and this is unbelievable, V'yoed Olav Yodea Talumos, the Rambam says he should do tshuva to the extent that Yodea Talumo, God who knows all secrets, will testify about him, Sholo Yoshev L'Zeachet La'olam, God would testify about him that this man is never going to do the sin again. Shenema, as it says, and this is a pasuk in this coming Shabbos' Haftorah, which is the Haftorah of Shabbos Yudah, that Jews are supposed to confess and say, we're not going to say to that which we made with our own hands, this is our God. He's given a description here of tshuva. And then the Rambam adds, and you have to express it with your lips, and these things that gomar believe, or that a person decided upon in his heart, he has to say it. The Rav says, you take a look at a halacha like this, Rambam, that this seems quite clear that the Rambam is discussing and describing for us the parameters of the whole mitzvah tshuva, which means the Rambam holds that there's a mitzvah tshuva. Not only vidui, it's tshuva plus vidui. Number three, and it's number three here. This is a Rambam in the seventh chapter of Hilchos Tshuva. Kol ha-nevi'im kulam tzivu ala tshuva. All of the prophets commanded that one should do tshuva. Do you hear the words of the Rambam? Command. That means tshuva is a mitzvah. Ve'en Yisrael ne'olin elo b'tshuva. The Israel are not going to be redeemed without tshuva. Ufar hivticha Torah. The Torah has already promised and guaranteed she'sof Yisrael asas tshuva b'sof goes on. The end is that Jews are going to do tshuva at the very end of their exile. Miyad heini golem, and immediately they're going to be redeemed. She'nena. And here he quotes the psukim in Torah from Parshas HaTshuva in Nitzavim. When all of these things are going to come to pass, history is going to, in a sense, inflict itself on the Jewish people. You know what you're going to do? B'shachta Hashem lekecha, you're going to return to God, your God. B'shach Hashem lekecha, shvutchun, God is going to return your captivity. And he will have great mercy on you. B'shach v'kibetz v'nikol ha'am. And he's going to gather you in from all the nations that he had dispersed you there. So the Rav says, on the basis of these three quotations of the Rambam, it must be clear that the Rambam holds, in addition to vidui, there is a mitzvah of tshuva. One problem that we still have is, if so, the strange way in which the Rambam formulated the first halacha. In the first halacha, he says, when a person does tshuva, chayav hisvados. He has an obligation. Where does the Rambam use the word obligation? With regard to vidui. This vidui, the Rambam says, is mitzvah sasei, is a positive commandment. So, you know, what I'm saying is, despite the fact that the Rav has brought three other Rambams that seem to indicate that there are two parts to this one mitzvah, there's a mitzvah to do tshuva, and then there's the mitzvah of vidui, we still have this verse, halacha, where the Rambam seems to be pretty clear that it's vidui. So what you inspired me to a few weeks ago was, I want to question the proofs that the Rav has brought. And I'm going to go backwards. I'm going to start with three, I'm going to go to two, and eventually I'll end up with one. The third proof was Kol HaNevi'im Kulam Tzivu Al HaTshuva. All the prophets commanded tshuva. I think that this is not a proof to the Rav's position. On the contrary, this flies in the face of the Rav's contention. If Torah commands you to do tshuva, why does the Rambam say all the prophets commanded Jews to do tshuva? Do you think the Rambam will ever write, all the prophets said you should keep Shabbos? All the prophets said you should eat kosher. Why does the Rambam say all the prophets commanded to do tshuva? If it's a mitzvah in our Torah, so God commanded it. So you do it for God's sake, not for the prophet's sake. Do you know what the Rambam is saying? I read the Rambam in the precise opposite way. Yes?
How do you know when you've been redeemed?
I guarantee you, when we've been redeemed, you'll know it and I'll know it. And if I'm going to start telling you how I would know that we're redeemed, I'll keep you here till Kol Nidre time. But maybe we'll get back to it. Do you hear what I'm saying? If tshuva is a mitzvah in our Torah, why does the Rambam say, Kol HaNevi'im Kulam Tzivu Al HaTshuva? The prophets commanded us to do tshuva. What are the prophets? God commanded you to do tshuva. And what's most fascinating is, when the Rambam quotes the psukim in Torah from the Parshas HaTshuva, do you know how he reads it? he reads the psukim in the parasha of Tshuva not as a mitzvah to do Tshuva, but as a promise of the future. Ein Yisrael, Negolin, Israel will only be redeemed through Tshuva, and the Torah has already promised and guaranteed that they will do Tshuva at the end of their exile, and immediately they're going to be redeemed. And you know what the Rambam quotes there? The psukim in Torah. After the bracha and klala will come upon you, v'shavta, Hashem Elokecha, you will return to God, your God. You know what it means? The Rambam does not learn v'shavta, and you shall return. The Rambam learns v'shavta, and you will return. If it's a mitzvah in HaTorah, how does the Rambam say, all the prophets commanded you to do Judah? I remember I once learned in the yeshiva, I didn't finish the sentence yet. I learned a lot in yeshivas. But I come to this new yeshiva, and everything is the Rosh Yeshiva said and the Rosh Yeshiva did. And I remember, I don't know, it was one night at supper time, somebody comes in and an announcement, the Rosh Yeshiva said not to drink Coca-Cola. Now this is already a gzeira min ha-rashida. She'en ha-tzibur, you can't, how do you pay that? It is a shayla. And you know, here are 500 bachur in the yeshiva with their coats in front of them, and they're frozen. And then a second messenger comes running in and he says, the rashida said, you can drink coke. 500 people take their coats. I remember saying something, I remember telling somebody, You know why you can't steal? Because the Rosh Yeshiva said don't steal. The fact that it says in the Ten Commandments don't steal, no. But the Rosh Yeshiva said, that counts. What's the Rambam talking about? If the Torah says there's a mitzvah tshuva, so he says, come on, if he and all the prophets commanded about tshuva. Unless, of course, we will take the position that, you know, tshuva, and I'm going to define how I see tshuva. Tshuva is not a mitzvah. The mitzvah is if you do tshuva, then express it verbally. Take a look at halacha number two, the number two that we had up there, where the Rambam defines tshuva. You want to notice something fascinating in that? When he defines and describes and delineates and paints a picture of tshuva, you know how he does it? By a pasuk from Yeshayahu, by a pasuk from Yirmiyahu, and by a pasuk from Hosea. If tshuva is a mitzvah in our Torah, why does the Rambam have to go to the prophets in order to describe what tshuva is? First, he quotes Yeshayahu, Yazov, Rosh Hadarko, the Rosh should forsake his evil ways. And then he says the Rosh should regret the past, as Yirmiyahu said, Acharei Shuvim Charetim. And then he quotes Hosea, in where Hosea, in fact, says, you know, you should express it verbally. You know why I hold the Rambam is bringing Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, and Hosea? Because as far as the Torah is concerned, there's no mitzvah of tshuva. The mitzvah is vidu. So I know it's bothering you. The same thing that's bothering the Rambam, meaning there's no mitzvah of tshuva. So before I go back to the kotet, before I go back to the heading, the headline in the Rambam, I want to briefly, and then we'll elaborate on it, how do I see it? How do I see the mitzvah or the obligation or the responsibility to do tshuva? I'm going to take you for a journey, but rest assured that I'm going to bring you back to where we started. In that shiur a few weeks ago, we were talking about the Akedah. And when talking about the Akedah, we were describing how Rav Kook sees the Akedah. And toward the end of the shiur, that's when my head started churning. Toward the end of the shiur, we quoted Rav Kook, who says, And the truth is, this is something that's already said by the... this is already said by Rabbi Yosef Albo in the Sefer HaYikrim and by others, that one of the amazing aspects of the Akedah is that, as a matter of fact, Avraham Avinu didn't have to do it. What do I mean that Avraham Avinu didn't have to do it? Because God says to Abraham, Kach no, please take your one and only son and bring him on the altar. And he says, I'm not commanding you to do it, but I'm asking you, do me a favor. Elokim Nisat Avram. God wants to raise and uplift Avram as a banner for the whole world to see. What the extent of Avram's devotion is, and for that matter, let Avram himself learn the extent to which he is capable of fulfilling the will of God. That is command. Rav Kook says that most significant about the Akedah, it was an act of absolute free will. There wasn't even a divine imperative that commanded him to do it. Not only that, the Medrash says when it was all over, Avraham says to God, you know that I could have told you when you commanded me, or when you asked me to take Yitzchak and bring him as a sacrifice, I could have told you, but wait a minute. Etmol, yesterday, you told me, ki bi Yitzchak, ki kar lechozer, that Yitzchak is going to be your seed. You promised me that from him is going to come a great Jewish people. I could have told you immediately that you're contradicting yourself, but I didn't. You know what it means that Avraham could have said that to God? But he's absolutely free. He's a totally free agent. Why does it all take place on the third day after God communicates with him? So that nobody should ever be able to say that this was an act of passion. One single instant of time, God tells him, slaughter your son, and he slaughters him. He has 3 long days, 72 hours, traveling over hills and dales, through the highways and byways of Yehuda until he comes to Haruria. He has enough time to reflect. He has enough time to think about it, to consider, to reconsider. He knows exactly what he plans on doing. And therefore the greatness of the Akedah emerges, because it's an act of absolute free will. That's the brilliance and the greatness of the Akedah. Not that Avraham listens to God and follows him. There are times that God commands, and yes, we willingly submit and we are obedient. Here, all that God did was he expressed his will, not a command. Kachno, please. Over the years, I have developed a list of mitzvahs that may not be mitzvahs, may not be divine imperatives and commands. There are certain areas where God leaves it open to the absolute free will of the Jew without even requiring a mitzvah. And I'll take you through some of those mitzvahs. I think they're fascinating. Every few years, I find a new one, and I become so excited all over again. One that I found last year or 2 years ago, at the very beginning of Parashat Truma, there is a Malbim. Malbim says the following. God says to Moshe, Daber el bnei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, the yikhu li truma, they shall take unto me an offering, kol ish, every person Hashem yitvenu libo, what his heart wants to donate, and we're going to build a mishkan, gold, silver, copper, brass, all sorts of tapestries and draperies, all these things. So I'm going to read 2 lines in the Malbim. The Malbim says, v'yikhu li truma, take unto me an offering. So he says that God conditions this campaign for the construction of the Mishkan. It says, Lo amar v'gitnuli truma. It doesn't say, they shall give unto me truma. And by the way, you know what he's really asking? Why doesn't this say that? Why doesn't God tell Moshe, listen, the Jewish people should give to me truma? It says, it doesn't say yikruli truma. You know what it says? Yikruli truma. And we're going to see what a significant difference there is. It doesn't say v'yitnuli truma. Sha'oz, because if it would have said v'yitnuli truma, it would be mitzvah asay, it would be a positive commandment, v'chiyuv, and an obligation, al kol echad, on each Jew to give. V'yitnu would mean that each Jew has to give. And you know what God wants over here? I'm going to coerce you to give a donation for a dwelling place for me? Absolutely not. I want to leave it completely open to your free will. You want to bring, bring. You don't want to bring, don't bring. What do you think's going on over here? So, once described, they're going to put a thermometer out in the middle of the desert. You know? And as people start bringing more kesef, you know, they'll keep coloring in the thermometer. Like, God is out on a building campaign. He needs everybody's money to build a dwelling place for himself. Oh, no, no, no. Hashem rotzo shetrumo zu tiyem min nidvat lev. God wanted that this donation should be completely out of the will of one's heart, or its own chavshi, absolute free will, loyal v'hechrech, nothing compelling you to do it. Not even a divine commandment compels. If there would have been a command to give, are you not in behechrech? So you know why a Jew brings it? A Jew brings it because, listen, there's a mitzvah I have to fulfill. God said give, so I'm giving. And since God said give, and he doesn't take pledge cards, he wants the real thing. So I have to bring it. God says, no, my dwelling place, I'm giving you an opportunity to share it. But I want it to be done out of your own free will. Not everything has to be a mitzvah. There are certain things that God leaves them open to the free will of the individual. You do what you want. I want you to do what you want. I don't want to coerce you in any way whatsoever. This is exactly what God is saying to our Abraham Avinu. Rav Kook says, Yodeya Talumos, God who knows all secrets. Before him I revealed everything that is hidden. He wanted to bring out the full devotion, the holy light that comes from Allah. Everything that's hidden and concealed in the great soul of Allah. Therefore, you know what he wanted? That the Akedah should be nearly the same words that the Malbim uses by Truma, Ritzon Chavshi, absolute free will. No internal coercion, no external coercion. And do you know therefore what's going to come out to the light of day? The essential nature of Avraham Avinu. The essential nature of the Jew is going to express itself by virtue of what he brings to the Mishkan. Not because he's coerced. God wants no coercion whatsoever. None. Leave it free for one to do what he wishes. So those are up two. I'm going to take you to a few more of my... one that I had mentioned a number of times to you in Shurim over the years. There's a question that was asked by first sight. Asked by Rabbi Chiel Yaakov Weinberg, who was the Siddayesh, great posse during and after the Second World War. So yes, on Purim there's a mitzvah to bring Shalach Manas. No, give Shalach Manas. Give Shalach Manas, yeah. Right? So he asks the question, why isn't there, but why didn't you say bracha on the mitzvah Shalach Manas? You know, it's a beautiful mitzvah. You know, you prepare a beautiful basket of fruit and all sorts of goodies, and you send it. So you should say, Bracha, Shekin Shonu, Mitzoso, Mitzimonu, God sanctified us and He commanded us to give Shalach Manas. Isn't that a beautiful bracha? What a beautiful bracha. So he says, maybe you're going to tell me that the reason why you don't make a bracha on Shalach Manas is because it requires a significant other. You need a second person. And the Chazbo, one of the great Rishonim, says that any mitzvah that requires somebody else in order to fulfill the mitzvah, you don't say a bracha. For example, the mitzvah of tzedakah and charity, you don't make a bracha. Because it depends on somebody else. So Rabbi Yechiel Weinberg says that that's not true with regard to Shalach Manos. Why isn't it true with regard to Shalach Manos? Because the halacha, you may not know this, as I'm going to tell you, so you heard it here first. By Shalach Manos, the halacha is, if you send Shalach Manos to somebody and he says, no, thank you. It's all right, I really appreciate your sentiments. It's really beautiful. And it's really good to Shalach Manos. But this house is so generous, Shalach Manos. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, you know. We have enough to give out to our kids 10 times over. What are we going to do with it all? Or just as I don't need. You know what? You'll fulfill the mitzvah. You don't have to give it to fulfill the mitzvah. You just have to offer it to fulfill the mitzvah. Which means that technically, it doesn't depend on anybody else. So why don't you make a bracha on the mitzvah of Shalach Manos? So Yechiel Weinberg answers so very, very beautifully. The whole purpose of the mitzvah of Shalach Manos is that we should create an atmosphere of camaraderie and friendship. The moment you say the word Vitzivonu and he commanded us, you already shatter all of that goodwill. By saying a bracha with Vitzivonu, you know what it really means? Truth is, I don't like you. I may never have told you this, but I can't stand your guts. But I have a problem. My problem is I have to fulfill the mitzvah of the Shalach Manos, and you're the only guy around. So I'm going to take my apple and my orange, and I'm doing this because Hashem Kitshanu b'mitzosa b'tzivonu. He commanded us to fulfill the mitzvah. So Weinberg says, Vitzivonu? No, can't say that. Because what our rabbis really wanted is that this should be an expression of real friendship. I'm doing it because I want to do it. Not because it's Yivano. Not because it's Yivano. Next. There's another. And then this one, to me, was always, always very fascinating. There's the a strange, I would call it a request. It begins with God's covenant with Avraham Avinu, the Brid Bein Habetarim, the covenant between the pieces. So God says to Avraham, you should know that your children are going to be enslaved and they're going to be strangers in a foreign land for 400 years. I am going to judge the people who will enslave them. The Acharei came, and afterwards Yetzu Beruchosh Gadol. Afterwards they're going to go out with great wealth. This great wealth is a problem. Tell you what the problem is. When God appears to Moshe at the snare at the burning bush, so he tells him, you should know when Jews leave, I want them to ask their neighbors for gold and silver and garments. And the Pasuk even says that God already prepared the scene by giving the favor and grace of the people in the eyes of Egypt. Before the night of the Exodus, God comes to Moshe and tells Moshe, Dabeno, please speak to the children of Israel and ask them, that they should ask their neighbors, before they go out, ask their Egyptian neighbors for gold, silver, and garments. And Rashi brings the Gemara in the Masechta Brachos, where the Gemara says, God is terribly concerned. Shalom Yomar also tzaddik, that great righteous man, Abraham, should not say, God fulfilled the suffering. He fulfilled all of the enslavement. But then there was the promise that he made to me, and afterwards they're going to go out with great wealth. Where's the great wealth? So do me a favor, Moshe. Ask the Jewish people to ask for gold, silver, and garments. have a number of problems with this. The simplest problem, of course, is the following. If God is worried that they're going to go out empty-handed, you know what you do? Make it a mitzvah. Tzav et b'nei Yisrael, command the children of Israel that they shall ask it unto their neighbor for gold and silver and garments. Command it. Why does God say to Moshe, please do me a favor, ask the Jewish people to do it? By the way, that's what Moshe does. He asks them, you know, please ask your neighbors. What do you please, Shmeez? What do you please? If you want to make sure that they go out with great wealth, so that make it a mitzvah. So a Jew will go to the mikveh, he'll put on his girdle, and will sing Hineni Mucham Zoman. And then the night of the Exodus, he's going to go over and ask for gold and silver. But what always bothered me about that was even something more difficult bothered me about. Can you imagine that? Here it is, most probably the greatest moment in all of history. God is taking the slave people out to freedom. And you know what Jews are doing that night? They're going around collecting money, schlepping money out of the Egyptians. And that's all they need. In other words, it's bad enough, they don't even have provisions for the wedding. They're schlepping dead babies, they're schlepping everything. They have to schlep yet the schmappest ornaments. That's what they need. That's what they need. I always quote one of the old jokes. You know, there was a time that there were jokes like this in the early days of the state. I remember my father-in-law, Sean, told me this joke about the... it's not a joke anymore. And we're, you know, unfortunately, we've progressed about these two bank robbers who rob a bank in Tel Aviv, and then as they're carrying the sacks of money with them out the door, they come to the door, he kisses the mezuzah, and then he backs out of the bank. And then they're going marching out to freedom, but they made sure, these Jews, they made sure that they had all this money with them. It stains. It soils the moment of greatness. What's the Torah talking about? Three separate occasions. And then when they're farming, then when they're finally going out, it says, Vayemas, the Jewish people did kifar Moshe. And they asked for gold and silver and garments. And they put it on their children. You know, like the old days used to go through customs over here. You know, on the hottest day of summer with three coats and two jackets and who knows what. You wouldn't get away with that today anymore. But what do you mean? They won't even look at you in costumes anymore. They're all on strike. Another great strike. Right, don't get me to talk about that. They're destroying this country. All right. Thank God I don't have to travel today. Okay. Oh, but I have Mishpucha coming today. Oh, they're going to have a fun time. Welcome to Israel. So I explain the following. You know how I understand this parasha is so significant? When God tells Avraham they're going to go out with great wealth afterwards, what does he mean by that? Not only what does he mean by that, it's more than that. So you can take them out to freedom. Alright, you can take them out to freedom. What about the emotional trauma of the enslavement? Do you think it passes in one single instant of time? You've been beaten, Jewish children have been thrown into the Nile, Jews were tortured. And then they go out the night of Pesach and finish. That's it. Forgot all the pain, forgot all the suffering, it's all over. You think that the Mitzrayim experience didn't leave the Jewish people with deep emotional pain and severe damage? I always say, we're a people here who are patsua. We don't know the extent to which we have suffered over the last 10 years and certainly in the last 3. I went with my wife for lunch to Village Green last week. I didn't stop looking at the door. You think I'd do that in New York? My eyes were moving around. Involuntarily, my eyes were moving around to see who's coming, who's walking, who's on. This is unbelievable. We're all wounded. We are all wounded. You think that 210 years of enslavement, cruelty, torture, didn't leave deep scars? So what are you telling me? God, what are you telling me? They're going to go up with great wealth. Does that cover it up? Does it make it better? You think the rich people get a good shake over here in this country? Some of them have to leave. They can't take it over. It gets too hot. You know what God is saying to Moshe? There is emotional pain and suffering. There are wounds. And we're going to have to begin to heal those wounds. You know how we're going to heal it? If the Jew is going to be able to work up the courage to turn around to his taskmaster and say, Habibi, I worked for you. You owe me. If they're not going to do it tonight, they're never going to have another chance in history to do it. The beginning of the healing is when you can look in the eyes of the person who has tortured you and stand tall and with dignity pay. And you know what happens when they say that? Retroactively, you can turn 210 years of slavery into 210 years of employment. It's important that they do it. If it would be a mitzvah to do it, there would be no therapeutic value to it at all. If God says you have to ask for gold and silver, so, all right, so the jewels say, I have to do it, give me gold, give me silver. None of Moshe Rabbeinu has to talk to them and get them to do it of their own volition. There are things you have to do of your own free will. You can't be commanded to do it. And that's how the whole process of healing begins. My favorite and my most famous one, and then we're going to go back to Tshuva. There's been an ongoing debate, I'd say for 500 years, 600 years, 700, 800. The Rambam in all of his massive writings doesn't say any place it's a positive commandment to live in Eretz Yisrael. So everybody has dealt with the question. There are those who say, well, you know, if the Rambam doesn't say that, then there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Are you on that? Don't make any hasty decisions. Wait till I'm finished over here. Wait a minute. So there have been so many answers that have been given over the ages, because the fact is, the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael expresses itself through dozens of other mitzvahs. And the expression through the dozens of other mitzvahs do appear in the Rambam. He may not have to say that it's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, because he does pass in, you know, he passes that husband or wife can coerce one another to go on Aliyah. On what is that based? That's based, obviously, because there's a mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam doesn't have to spell it out that clearly, because it's understood in some of the other halachas. If the Rambam paskins that when you rent an apartment in Eretz Yisrael, you have to put a mezuzah on the first day, you don't have 30 days grace like you have in Chutz La'aretz. On what basis is the halacha that you have to put a mezuzah on the first day in Eretz Yisrael? Because living in Eretz Yisrael is always considered permanent, immediately. Living in Chutz La'aretz, let's wait and see. After 30 days, it gets a degree of permanency, so you have to put on a mezuzah. So here there's been this big debate. I mean, I can speak for hours on all of the various opinions that I said to explain the Rambam. And then, of course, there are those who love the idea that there's no mitzvah. So then come two of the great posts of our generation, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and Rabbi Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, who both of them said nearly the same thing. And it's so not understood by everybody, it's a mitzvah that they should understand. I understand it. In all humility, Mamish, this is in a little bit humility. Rav Moshe and Rav Soloveitchik say the following. There's no obligatory mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. But if you live in Eretz Yisrael, you fulfill a mitzvah. There's no chiyuv. There's no divine imperative that you have to live in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know, but if you live in Eretz Yisrael, you fulfill a mitzvah. Well, I know, I've met up with these people. Rav Moshe says you don't have to live in Eretz Yisrael. So I say, you guys don't begin to understand what Rav Moshe is talking about. When I saw the psak of Rav Moshe and Rav Soloveitchik, I was thrilled. Because you know what that psak leaves open for you? The possibility that you can do it without being coerced by the mitzvah. There's nothing that says that I have to live here. But I know it's God's land. And I know that this is his will. He didn't command me to do it. Did he command me to bring donations to build a house for him? No. What would we want God to do? We want God to say, listen, you just pick yourself up and you get here now. No. You don't want to live in my country? Do me a favor. Don't come. We don't want anybody to come here because they have to come here. You want to come? We're going to greet you with open arms. You're going to fulfill a mitzvah. There are certain things that the relation doesn't want that you should have to do. I always imagine what happens if a relation with Paskin that you have to live in Eretz Yisrael. So some of his students will find another Rebbe. Right? And then those who are going to stick with our measure through thick and thin, I can just imagine the scene. They go two blocks away from the Yeshiva Teferis and Yerushalayim on the east side. They go to ABC Trading and they start making their lift. You understand? They start buying the biggest fridge they can buy. They're crying their eyes out. Never. They have to go to Eretz Yisrael because Rav Moshe said you have to go. And then they get the biggest TV because this is going to be the last time you'll ever be able to buy a colored TV. They're crying their eyes out because Rav Moshe said they have to go to Eretz Yisrael. Do me a favor! You don't want to come, stay there. Don't come. Rav Moshe leaves the opportunity to do it as an act of free will. Like I always said, I used to pray that I'd go on Aliyah and it wouldn't be a time that my contract is up for renewal and 99% of the board is against me. And then, of course, in a great dramatic act, I'd say, creeps, you can't fire me. I'm gone on Aliyah. And then, boy, they jump for joy. They're going to make a great farewell dinner. They're saved. They didn't have to throw the rabbi out. He's gone out on the yard. They're making great fire. I had a lifetime contract. And I went out on the yard. Hodu Hashem ki tov to the other house now.
Not part of the show.
And that question. On another occasion, I'll give you an answer. A real good answer. Okay. Tshuva? You did an Aveira? You acted in a rebellious manner against God? I should tell you, do tshuva? If you want to do tshuva, I'll help you. I'll tell you what to do, but I should coerce you to do tshuva? Oh no! That's something that has to come from the very depths of the human being. I'm adding tshuva to the list of mitzvahs that God does not coerce man to do it. No. But you know what happens? In the event that you want to do tshuva, then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take you by the hand, and you know what I tell you to do? Say vidui. You arrive at a decision in your heart. God bless you. And I'm going to help you the rest of the way.
But what are you talking about?
Make it a mitzvah to do tshuva. You know what's strange about all of this is? Because you did an aveira, you get a mitzvah. And the poor tzaddik that didn't do the aveira doesn't have the mitzvah. That's a funny kind of mitzvah. I believe that the Rambam holds, there's no mitzvah to do tshuva. Oh, but if, after you've gone through an inner struggle with yourself, it could be a long struggle, it could be a relatively short struggle, it may take years, it may take months, but you have to do that yourself. You know what I think tshuva is like? Tshuva is like receiving Torah. God had to hear the Jewish people say, Naseh v'nishma, we didn't do it again. Can't coerce. There are certain things that must come from the depths of a Jew's neshama. The real Jew comes out. Tshuva is not a mitzvah. I'll tell you now how I read the heading in the Rambam. Mitzvah Asei Achat. One positive commandment. V'hu Shidoshev HaChote Meicheto L'Tzvei Hashem V'Yitvade. This seems to be saying that the person should do tshuva before God and say Vidui. So I'm saying, no, I'll tell you how to read this. I say that there are two stages in tshuva. Stage number one is the inner struggle between me and myself. And it's only after I have gone through that inner struggle and I've arrived at a conclusion that I'm returning to God. You know what my next responsibility is? I've made peace with myself. Now I have to make peace with God. You know what the Rambam is talking about over here? After the person has already made his inner tshuva, sheyoshuv hachote mincheto lifnei Hashem, now say it before God. And you know how you say it before God? Yitvada. Completely different story. When one goes or begins to look into the world of Chassidut, one finds something else that's very, very significant. Well, by the way, it's not only the world of Chassidut. I just want to read a few sentences from a Me'idi who's a Rishon, and from the Sfas Emes, one of the Chassidic greats. The Me'iri who was a Rishon says the following. Did you know what tshuva should be like? Listen to his description, he describes tshuva. Tshuva is, lo ha'aditeyu b'tshuva, he should not be aroused or awakened to tshuva because of chulshat teva, because of weakness. In other words, when he was young, he was able to do avedas. Boy, did he do avedas. You reach a point. You don't need kayak for an aveira. Kayak takes energy to do aveira. Tshuva should be not because of weakness of nature, or zikna, or old age, or heder hazmana, or I just don't have the opportunity. You know, you need an opportunity. Sometimes you just don't have the opportunity to do a real juicy aveira. And he goes on to say, tshuva shouldn't be because of tochacha mochiach, because somebody has admonished me, or oto onesh achayim, or he saw the punishment that somebody else suffered because he did an aveira. Sovdor, in sum, the Me'iri says tshuva should be lohit orer libo l'siba min hasibot. His heart was not awakened to do tshuva because of any cause or reason. Do you know what awakened him to do tshuva? The inner self. Could I therefore say that the Me'iri is telling us Not even a mitzvah coerces a person to do tshuva. Tshuva has to be an absolute leap of one's own free will. Rak Shehari Tov, you know what has awakened him? Tov Kavanoso, his good intentions. Vid Bayesh may not show. He's ashamed of himself. Umi Boro, and he's ashamed of his creator because he did these aveyas. Vid Bonim Bachai Tov, and he thought about what the end, the latter end, is going to be. Vihichni Alipo, and he was able to subdue his heart. Do you know what the Miri is describing? A man who's acting completely out of his own free will. There is nothing that coerces him. There is nothing that forces him. There is nothing that stands there hanging over his head. And of his own free will, not even a mitzvah. But if you've gone through that process, you've gone through the struggle. Then the Rebbeinu says, Habol Tahir, the person who comes to purify himself, Messiah, we'll help you, we'll assist you, we'll do whatever we can for you. But the decision must come from within the individual himself. The Sfasemes. Sfasemes says the following. Shuvah Yisrael, the Haftarah this week, Shuvah Yisrael, Ad Hashem Lekecha. Israel, do tshuva, go back to God, your God, Ki Hashalto Ba'avonecha, because you have stumbled in your sin. By the way, if one reads the Haftarah very carefully, I think in the Haftarah itself we're going to see, just read a few psukim, but the next pasuk, after the pasuk, Shuvah Yisrael, Israel, return to God, Kehui Lachem Tavod, and take with yourselves words, Veshuvu El Hashem, and do tshuva to God. Imru Ela, say to him, talk to him. You know what the Navi is telling you? The Navi is saying, you've decided to do tshuva? Now express it verbally. Of course, what's fascinating over here is, you know what a great part of the Vidui is? You know what the Navi Hosea wants Jews to say? Ashur lo yoshi enu. Assyria is not going to save us. Al sus lo nirkav. We're not going to ride on a horse. By the way, horse is used as a code word for Egypt because horses came from Egypt. So they're saying we're not going to ride to victory because we have the horses or the strength of Egypt with us. V'lonomar od elaheinu l'maaseh yadeinu, this the Rambam have quoted, we're no longer going to say to our hands that this is our God. And that can mean a lot of things. It can mean an idol that one makes, or that one says, we have the best army in the world. What are you talking about? We can take care of all of these jungle bunnies. 1, 2, 3, what are you talking about? I mean, it's amazing what Hosea is saying. Why do we have to say over this pasuk in Hosea time and time again? Time and time again. It's unbelievable. There are times in which I feel we're not an independent people. We're not an independent people. Condoleezza Rice is going to build the fence where she wants it and how she wants it. Colin Powell is going to tell us exactly who to pull out, who to kill, or better, he's going to tell us who not to kill. Bush, I don't know what he's going to tell us tomorrow. One day it's good, one day it's bad, one day he says a sentence that's for us, another day. The United Nations, of course, is going to tell us that we have to, what are you talking about? Fuck, this is a statesman. This is a man who was elected in free, open elections by his people. Free elections. My fuck, free elections. The whole world is telling us what to do. If we listen and heed the words of Hosea, Ashur lo yoshienu, Assyria is not going to help us. Egypt is not going to help us. Can't depend on Bush. The United Nations is nothing with nothing. Chirac, well, I don't want to talk about French because I'll start cussing your kid to that before, till I feel kid. Once you kid. All right? Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha is the Navi speaking and he's telling them, listen, let the true Jew in you come out. And you know what happens if you didn't say the Vidui? Then the Navi goes on to say, Erpon Meshuvatam. God says then, I am going to heal their rebelliousness. Oh, Havei Nidava, I'm going to love them. Kishov Api Men, because my anger is turned back to them. But the first step has to be taken by you. So therefore, I'm ready to take the so-called mitzvah of tshuva and add it to my whole list. My whole list of examples where a mitzvah is not mandated. Can't have a mitzvah. Not everything can be a mitzvah. Tefillin, tzitzis, lulav, fasting. These are things that I can never come to by myself. Those are mitzvahs. But anybody who, later, I often am a quote of Shlomo Zalman, there was this dude from Chutz Laaretz who came to visit him and spent a few months preparing all of the opinions on whether it is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, not a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Here he comes, and he starts pouring out all of his knowledge to Rav Shlomo Zalman, and Rav Shlomo Zalman, in his inimitable, able way, stops him, says, it's not important. I mean, this guy is crestfallen. He's been preparing himself for months. And here Rav Shlomo Zalman doesn't want to hear everything he has to say. So he says, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, you know, it doesn't really make any difference. You just open up any parsha in Chumash and you'll see that God's will is for Jews to live in Eretz Yisrael. All of your halachic discussions are totally insignificant, unimportant. You know what God wants. David HaMelech refers to Eretz Yisrael as Eretz Chemda, a desirable land. And the sin of the Meraglim was Mo'asu, they rejected Eretz Chemda. They rejected a land that they should have loved and desired. You know, I can imagine one of the Meraglim telling Yahushua and Kalev, you know, the Rambam doesn't say that there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Did you hear what Rav Moshe and Rabbi Soloveitchik, or Rav, you know what they said? And Yeshua and Kalev would say, oh, they nebuch, nebuch, nebuch. You guys, you don't get it. Nebuch, nebuch. Don't you know that it's so much and what God's will is? On the contrary, God leaves us free to do that. There are mitzvahs that he does not want. God doesn't want anybody here who doesn't want to be here. They don't want to be here, not be here. So this is the same thing with tshuva. Impose a mitzvah of tshuva? You don't realize that you rebelled against God, you did something terrible? The Sfas Emes, and with that we'll close. Sfas Emes says the following, Ki Hashalta Shuva Yisrael, return Israel, Ad Hashem Elokecha to God, Ki Hashalta Ba'avonecha, because you have stumbled through your sin. Sometimes, you know, where I like to, how I like to learn that, Ki Hashalta Ba'avonecha. Now that Hosea is saying, fella goes ahead, and he does all sorts of avodas because he thinks that he's going to become rich. You know, he works on Shabbos, he works on Yom Tov, he does all sorts of daily deals under the table. And you know what happens at the end? He's the same cop that he was before. He couldn't even do an avoda right. Ki chashavta ba'avodecha. With your sin, you stumble. You didn't even do that right. You know what you might as well do? You might as well do tshuva. Ki chashavta ba'avodecha. Says the Sfas Emes, Zen Nana Uchol Ish Yisrael, this is said to every Jewish person. Va'af shechota b'hirshia harve. Even though a person has sinned and been very evil, tzorich l'hamin, he has to believe, and this is a very important thing in Kabbalah and Chassidut. You have to believe, ki ikar nekuda Yisraelit shebo hi b'mekoma. This is what we call the pimply. There's one little point within the Jew that has never been soiled and never been tainted and remains pristine and holy as it always was. And do you know where tshuva comes from? Tshuva comes from that part of the inner precinct of the Jewish neshama that always remains pure. You know what I want to do with this? It means, therefore, there's a part of you that never sinned. And that's how you can do tshuva. If there's a part of you that never sinned, you can't tell that part of you do tshuva. Because there was never sin there. It was never soiled. It was never tainted.
A person sins only if something's gone wrong with him.
But the real Jew always remains pure. And that's why there's always hope. There's always hope that little pinto of that nekuda, that dot, that which remains clear and pure, the divine point of the neshama, is going to encourage and awaken and arouse a person to do tshuva. And at that point, never did an aveira. You can't tell that to do tshuva. So the mitzvah is that after one has achieved an understanding that what he did was wrong and regrets, and then he turns to God and says, "Oh, now that you've reached this stage, come, I'm going to take you by the hand." That's what the government is saying. V'hushe Yoshev in his kotelet, v'hushe Yoshev achotel yicheto lifnei hakeil, before God, v'yitvaden yishasei v'idul. But the suffering, the inner struggle, that's your own. You have to do that. I'm not telling you what to do. That you have to do. I did it. I thought, you know, who knows what would happen. I disagreed with the Rav, but at least I'm agreeing with the Minchas Chinuch, the Meshech Chachma, and others, the Avodas HaMelech, all that yes, there is no mitzvah of tshuva, but there's a mitzvah if you've done tshuva, say if you do. That's how I understand the Rav. I'm not seeing it over everybody.
Rabbi, says we
must
forsake our evil ways.
Yeshua
who says we have to forsake our evil ways.
Yes,
yes.
Yeah, so
Rosh Hashanah.
That's right.
What does
Yirmiyahu say? Regret. You have to feel regret.